Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting for you tonight. Wednesday night goes down every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Pacific. Host Onyx, also host Golden Fleece on the line. What's good? What's good?
Yes, indeed. Another Wednesday. Oh, man, that jump just took me back, man. Took me back to the starter jackets, back with pants. The good old days.
Yes, definitely. Love the 90s, 80s, baby. So, was loving when they came out. Crisscross tonight, a special tribute broadcast for Chris, Mac Daddy, Kelly, who unfortunately is no longer with us here, but he is also is with us in spirit. I'm sorry. And tonight we just wanted to honor his legacy and his contribution that Crisscross has made to hip hop. So we're going to play a couple of records. Also have a guest come on who was there with Crisscross when they first started out and, you know, did the clothes backwards and all of that. So it'll be exciting to get some, you know, inside scoop. And it's been a tough couple weeks. Last Wednesday was the wake, and then last Thursday, this past Thursday, was the funeral. So just, you know, very sensitive, time sensitive, and we definitely wanted to at least pay our respects tonight. So that's what we're doing for you guys tonight on The Cut. And again, this is G14 Radio via global14.com, which is Jermaine Dupri's social networking site. So there you can find us also on Global 14. So, Colton, I guess I'll start out by do you remember where you were when you heard Criss Cross for the first time?
Ah, man, when I heard Criss Cross for the first time, I think I was watching either one of the old school video shows. I don't know whether it was Video Music Box or Rap mm-hmm. City, but it was one of the older joints. I remember seeing it, and it was crazy because it was like we were so close to their age. I probably was like 1 year older than Chris mm-hmm. Kelly. I am. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was 34. I'm 35. But hip hop had already been in my blood since super way back growing up in, you know, New York. My cousins are all super hip hop heads. I mean, those old school pictures you see with the guys with the radio on their shoulder and the Kangols
yeah.
and shit, like Adidas suits, those were my cousins. Mm-hmm. So they would come to the house. I had mixtapes of the Jungle Brothers, Fat Boys, and Houdini,
yes.
niggas like that I had on mixtapes,
yeah.
you know what I'm
yeah.
saying? So when
yeah.
Criss Cross came out, it was so relatable because it was funny. It was like, even though you didn't look exactly like them, they were you. You know what I'm
mm-hmm.
saying? They was that young. They was out there, and they was rapping, and the song was hot. I remember
mm-hmm.
the first time I heard it in a Walkman, and I remember how the beat was hitting, and I was like, wow, this is the joint right here.
Mm-hmm.
And it just spread like wildfire. Like, everybody would go to school and be like, yo, did you hear that joint with the so-and-so? And then they had when the video, when I first saw the video, I was like, oh, my God, look at these fresh jackets and shit. Like,
yeah.
that was all the stuff we was wearing anyway. But
exactly.
sometimes you couldn't afford it, you know what I'm saying? So you was like, oh, man, they got the starter joints on with
mm-hmm.
the suede. Oh, man. So, and then the lowriders in the video. It was funny to me because it was kind of like I didn't know much about Atlanta.
Right.
At that time, as far as music was concerned. So as I start seeing, like, I guess hearing them, I was thinking, they don't sound like they from the South. You know what I'm saying? Like,
mm-hmm.
they didn't sound that much like they was real Southern. But we related to them right off the bat. And I'm telling you, like, I probably like 10 or 12 of my homeboys, we start wanting to be rappers. We start
mm-hmm.
wanting to be, you know what, we're going to pursue this rap thing. Look how these small kids is getting this money in these videos. I know these girls is all over them. So I'm pretty sure that they aspired, the generation that I came from, pretty much to be MCs, man. So it was huge. It was huge. I mean, I had the braids. I had everything, like box braids to the side. Everything they had, me and my homies had. That was
mm-hmm.
that's the crazy part about it. Like, everything they did, we did. Coming to school with the pants backwards, I'll never forget the principal on the PA. Like, I don't know what this is, what's going on with everybody
right.
with their pants backwards, but
right.
you know, I'm hearing this is a new fad. I don't know if we're gonna tolerate this for any much longer. I remember that, and everybody did it, so it was just very influential and iconic when they first, and that's the first song. You know
absolutely,
what I'm saying?
So, absolutely.
That's what
And, you know, it's funny that you mentioned not being familiar with Atlanta at the time. Because when I first heard Criss Cross, I was actually, at the time, in Savannah, Georgia. And it was around the time when TLC was out as well, on the TLC tab. And I remember the boys were out. And that was one of my crushes, the boys. And then Criss Cross came out, and I had new crushes. And I was like, oh, my
You're
God,
right.
these boys. So it was really funny because I'm only like 6 or 7, and
right.
these were my crushes, so it was a trip. And I remember my brother, who's not too, you know, far in age as well, both of them, the style, they had it down pat. We have pictures, family pictures, where they wore their clothes backwards, and that's really like my brother's, really when they're like, okay, you know, Jermaine, my middle brother, he was like, I want to do this. And it's so funny because a lot of the rappers that we speak to today and a couple of the people that we interviewed on the show are like, I got my crisscross is the reason why I started rapping. And it's just like you
no
see
doubt.
Some kids doing this and doing it right and just killing it. It's like, oh, yeah, I can do this. So prior to then, I think it was like, we were, like, really excited about, like, Five Heartbeats and Jackson 5, American Dream. So we were already, like, cultured and wanting to do music. So, but after, like, Crisscross, my brothers really were like, yeah, you know. And more so my middle brother. And he did the slash, the eyebrow, all of that. It was a trip. My
mom
was like, stop
that.
Slashing your eyebrows.
Like,
it was a trip. So it's just crazy how a group can come out. And, like you said, first song, it makes such a huge impact. And at the time, who knew? I didn't know anything about Jermaine Dupri, it being Jermaine Dupri. And it wasn't anything about that. I wasn't familiar with him until The Brat came out. So, and then a lot of people, I don't know if they had a chance to kind of dig into the history and everything of what's going on. Crisscross actually discovered The Brat through their talent show, and that's how she met Jermaine. So it's just amazing that not only did they, you know, provide such a huge contribution to hip-hop, but also bring such a talented woman as well who paved the way.
First female platinum album.
Yes, absolutely. And it's just
big.
Like this is a label that's just fresh starting. And like JD had said back in those days, it wasn't an Atlanta scene, really. You had to go to New York and get the respect. So just think about all what they had to I don't want to say endure, but just the obstacles and then the barriers that they broke for the South and for the ATL and just all of that and for kids. And it's just it's an exciting time. And we definitely tonight, like I said, wanted to remember him and honor him with his legacy. And celebrate him. And
you know what was
him.
Awesome about it, man, too, is that I guess Jermaine was a visionary because those guys were really young. You know what I'm saying? I remember around that time, you know, there was a lot of older MCs. And we say older now, but, you know, they were probably in their early 20s or late teens, things like that. Mm-hmm. But nowadays, everybody's looking for the super young guys, the guys that are like 12, 13, that they can, you know, have a lot of longevity in the industry with. And he was doing that way back then. And it was just crazy because I remember Another Bad Creation was out as well. And they used to wear their clothes inside out. The beautiful thing about when Crisscross, when said Inside Out was wiggity whack, I think that all the people that wanted to rap definitely gravitated towards Crisscross, because even though ABC was out and they were young, they still were R&B singers. You know what I'm saying? They were singing. They wasn't rapping. And one of them was a rapper, but it wasn't an actual rap group that was that young, and that's what, you know what I'm saying? That's what they did. So I think that they became so iconic because, like you said, you had The Boys, you had ABC. A lot of them other cats was R&B, you know what I'm saying? But Crisscross was hip-hop, so it was like, oh, man, like this is something crazy right here, you know? And I think that's why I had so much on the effect of males that wanted to rap that's around their age, because we really had never seen anything like that.
Absolutely. I mean, it's an amazing time. And then I can't wait till we can reflect back on the time a lot of us got an opportunity to see the last performance in Atlanta, Georgia. Oh, my God. And we came on talking about it. And we've always referenced Crisscross and also Jermaine Dupri and Social Def in many ways because they were touring with Michael Jackson, just doing a lot of things that nobody did and nobody has done yet today. Of course, unfortunately, not Michael Jackson touring, but just just selling the records and just really coming out there and making a stance. And like you said, first time out. So I do want to go ahead and play another track tonight. And that is, of course, by Crisscross. And it is one of my favorites. And it's so funny because every time this happened, my brother would like remix this and I would be laughing. So this is one of our favorite songs from Crisscross.
I'm in the
Flexi made a cut tonight's special tribute broadcast for Chris Kelly. Definitely glad that we were able to do this special broadcast tonight, and also have a special guest joining us tonight, Miss Natalie. I want to bring her on right now. How are you this evening?
Oh, I'm so good.
Thank you so much for joining us. We asked Natalie to come on our episode tonight because she actually was around when Chris Cross first came out working with the record label and doing promotions, and we wanted to give some special stories and insight to Chris and just really celebrate and remember him in a special way. So, Natalie, thank you so much again for coming. And I guess I want to ask you, when was the first time that you had the opportunity to meet Chris Cross?
It had to be around 92. They were about 11 to 12 years old. It was before the album came out.
Oh,
and
they
came up to the label to meet everyone. And then, you know, then when the single, right before the single dropped, they came back up, and they spent a lot of time in New York, actually, promoting it. And then we sent them out to L.A. to do In Living Color. And it was really right after that In Living Color performance, when it aired, is when everything just took off and just went, you know, crazy.
Wow. That's amazing. That is crazy. So they did the In Living Color before. I remember that because they would definitely have the acts. That was one of my favorite shows. Did In Living Color. After that, received so well, and it took off. Now, at that time, was So Def already in place? And these songs were already...
No, the label wasn't in place. It was just Jermaine's production company, So Def, but the label wasn't in place yet. The actual, I believe the first artist on the label was Escape.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. But Chris Cross was under his production.
Mm-hmm.
And he had produced Silk Times Leather, and then he also did production for TLC for their first album as well.
Okay. I remember.
So we were all familiar with Jermaine's work prior to Chris Cross coming up there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. That's crazy. And so at that time, I suppose when you guys met Chris Cross and everything took off, that's when the CD began. Was it that, or did they do more touring at first?
It was just a promo tour. They were here, there, and everywhere. I remember one time they actually had touched base in, I think, 5 different cities in one day. They were literally off and on planes constantly.
Oh, my goodness.
It was just ongoing, nonstop. It was, I think at that point, you know, we were all working in the music industry for a while, but I think that was the first time we realized, even for ourselves, that we were a part of the entertainment world because it was just crazy.
Right. I can't imagine pandemonium. So what about the backwards clothing? How did you, we all hear that their side of wanting to be different. And how did the label, how did you guys feel about it?
It was great because it just added it to being able to market them because it just gave a different angle and different twist on it. They had a great marketing director who really, you know, did an amazing job with them. Karen Mason was awesome at that time.
Oh, my goodness. It's so exciting. I love to hear the stories and the tour experiences. Pandemonium. Were the girls crazy? What was it like on tour?
I mean, you had times when you were literally running, like running for your life.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I remember an in-store that we went to in New Jersey and Bergen County at, I think it was the Wiz at that time. They don't exist anymore, but they had to actually shut it down because it was just crazy and get them out the back door and into the limo and back into the city. And, you know, Chris Kelly was, he took it all in stride. It was something that he wanted to do that, you know, and I admired his maturity, you know, for someone at 13 years old. He really understood the importance of what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he was also a typical kid. He lavished in the chaos at times, and he created it.
Right.
we would stand outside. I remember after the concert at Madison Square Garden, and we had the hardest time trying to get the two Chrises into the car because backstage at the Paramount Theater, you know, it wasn't a way to pull a car up and you not be seen. You had to actually come out of the door and walk to the curb and get into the car, and they wouldn't go into the car at all. They just stood outside, and, you know, you're outside, you know, in Madison Square Garden, in Manhattan, cars are driving by, people see, and eventually people started recognizing the crisscross was standing on the corner, so now you're stopping traffic. Kids are starting to run down the block because they were already at the show, and then we're like yelling, get in the car, run, you know. And his mother was out there, and, you know, finally, you know, Donald was like, Chris and Chris, get in the car. And then when we got them in the car, we thought everything was okay because, you know, they were safe, but it wasn't because, you know, Chris Kelly, he liked the chaos, so he popped his head out of the sunroof so everyone could see him. And that just made it worse. So then we're standing in the street yelling at the driver, saying, drive, go, move the car, you know. It was that kind of, you know, craziness all the time, you know. And Chris being Chris, he would create it purposely at times, and then he would turn back and just give you that slick little smile, like, you know, see what I did, and then I'm gone, you know.
Oh, my goodness. I'm just imagining as you're telling the story, and I'm like, oh, my God, so much fun and so much, you know, adrenaline rush. And just, it sounds straight like Jackson 5 pandemonium right there. That's exactly what it was,
and that's what we compared it to. That's why I said, you know, at that point we realized this is real, you know. You know, and he just took it all in. You know, and so did Chris, you know, Smith. You really can't talk about one without talking about the other because the two of them were like brothers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They had that silent conversation going on and knew, could read each other's minds. They you know, they were just so good at that and like kindred souls. They were like twins, brothers from another mother, you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. And the chemistry, it's just, I find it so amazing that they've been down some, you know, literally little kids and then grown and also so talented equally, you know, and gifted, and just, it's amazing to me. It's amazing.
Right, and like I said, I admire, you know, his maturity, you know, both of them really, but because they understood what they were doing, they understood the purpose, and they understood it was for hip-hop.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he wanted. He didn't just want to be known as a rapper. He wanted to be known as a part of hip-hop.
Mm-hmm.
And he understood that at such a young age. And he did everything that needed to be done, you know, for the future of hip-hop. You know what I'm saying? He understood.
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
You know, it was about the past, and it was about the present, but it was also about the future of hip hop. And he understood, and he knew he was making history.
Mhm.
And he did everything, you know, the way it needed to be done to make sure it came out right, and that when you look back on it, you knew you were looking back on something great.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I also have the host Golden Fleece on the line, who was around their age at the time. When he was introduced to Chris Cross, and of course I had already said earlier, my crushes in the early 90s were my overalls, Jumpin', wearing my pigtails, amazing group, and we reflect on everything that they've done in hip hop and their contribution. So it's crazy to hear you say, you know, he already knew and wanted this to be the case. Golden, what do you I know you probably have something you want to ask Ms. Allie also.
Well, first of all, thank you for coming on the show, Ms. Natalie. We really appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. No problem.
Yeah, I want to know who used to do their braids because me and a couple of my homeboys tried to get them when we first saw them with it. And, you know, some people don't have that same texture of hair. that other people have. So you'll have a braid sticking this way and that way, and you got the rubber bands trying to tie them down. And I was just like, I remember me and my homeboys like, damn, my joints just can't look like theirs, right? And we would struggle to find a girl that could really do it, and finally found one. And it was so funny that we were trying that hard to look like these guys, and they probably had no idea that they had that effect on young boys at that time as well. Like, we weren't chasing the cars, but we was trying to get the fits just like them, the braids just like them. It was crazy.
I can't think of her name now. They had a hairstylist on the road with them all the time. I cannot think of her name now. But she was on tour with them all the time.
You know what,
hair and their clothing as well.
You know what was funny about it also is even when I was young, I was into music so much that I always used to notice how clean their performances and, you know, studio performances were. Even their live performances, I would always be like, yo, these kids don't mess up. You know, they feed off of each other really well. And to be that young, you know, you'll have some people messing up, missing words. And I never caught that with Chris Cross. I remember seeing him on Teen Summit, I think on Teen Summit one time, the Living Color performance. And I was always like in awe that they were just really so professional when it came to the music. I guess that's definitely a tribute to Jermaine and how he taught them well, because they used to be on point when they were on that stage.
Yeah, that is, I was going to say, that is a tribute to Jermaine, you know. And like I said, the two Chris's, they knew what they wanted to do, and they worked it to perfection. They were not, you know, they weren't going to mess up. They weren't, you know, because they knew why they were there, and they knew what they were doing it for. It's like Chris said, you know, I was, you know, he was born to do this, and he knew
right.
that.
Right. And I think they also, you know, speaking just on commenting standpoint, they also gave us something to strive for as far as clean raps, pronouncing your words. I remember I used to listen to some of Another Bad Creation songs, and some of the little kids in that group, they used to stumble over their words, and they would even keep that. It wasn't as clean as Chris Smith and Chris Kelly's verses, like on Jump. I just used to love the cleanliness of that song, and I used to be like, yo, these little kids are dope, man. I want to be like them. Did you have any in-studio experiences with them recording?
No, because I work with publicity and the promotion department here in New York at Columbia Records. So we never, we were never privy to that part, but even if you take that line from Jump where he said, you can understand every word. That was
right.
intended.
Right.
You know, that was intended. Because
and that
in
was
order
so
for,
awesome.
In order, if you wanted to please everyone, you want them to be able to sing along and understand everything that you're saying. And that's how it went down. And if you listen to every track all the way through from the first to the third album, that's exactly how it was.
Yep. Yeah, that's what I was saying earlier, man. The cleanliness and the professionalism in the studio, it came across in the music. And I remember I remember as they were growing up and we would see them change clothes, like they were defining fashion for young little boys. So shout out to whoever their stylist was. Even in New York City, I remember cats wearing flannel shirts when they did that video. I think it was the Super Cat, the All Right, which is one of my favorite songs from them. Everything Is All Right, I think is the name of the song.
Yeah, that
but,
was on the second album, The Bomb.
Yes, I love that song, and I remember people just changing their styles with Chris Cross, and it was like, you know, these kids have a huge impact out here. I also wanted to, were they on Columbia for the time where, I don't know what really happened as far as Chris Kelly being actually, was he ever really diagnosed with leukemia? I remember there was a time that everybody was talking about it and people were just devastated, like, oh my God, I hope he's okay. And I don't remember what album that was when that happened, but they were still on the scene, and I just remember all the girls in our school like, oh my God, we hope he's okay. Were you still around at that time?
I think that was during the third album, but when that came out, but we were, if he was, we were never told that, and he never appeared to, because if somebody was had leukemia, they had to have a lot of treatments, and they wouldn't have had the energy that he had all the time.
Right.
No, that's right.
And that's why everybody was like, you know, where does that come from? And for some reason,
you know,
that room was
just a bag
spreading.
Of energy. You know, he wasn't one to be still.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know,
and
so
we
like
didn't get it.
If it was, it was hidden well, but we were never told, and we never witnessed any of that.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. And the fans didn't either, and that's why it was such a, I guess, you know, one of those mysteries that everybody spreads around and then everybody's concerned. But like you said, we just seen them keep going on and on. And I would buy the album. So I knew the albums were great. And, you know, Crisscross just meant a lot to people. Young men in my generation, I know, definitely meant a lot. And I remember them on A Different World with Jermaine, when they were on A Different World with Jermaine, and we were like, oh man, these kids are everywhere, we gotta be rappers, man, look at this life they're living. And I remember that Different World episode, that was real dope too. That was actually about being in a gang. They were so ahead of their time, like gangs are running rampant in hip-hop right now. And I remember that Different World episode was about him and Chris Smith clashing because their family, our brothers, older brothers, were in different gangs.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's amazing. And so, Natalie, then, if I can ask you, so all of these, you know, getting casted on A Different World and all this, were they reaching out to the label and to Crisscross and to you guys saying, hey, we really want them a part of this, what can we do to fit them in the script? And was it just nonstop phone calls and endorsements, and what was it?
It was both ways, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, they had good management, which was Michael Malden, Jermaine's dad.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and then they had also, you know, an agent, because from that they also did the movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they just kept going from there. So they had agents, they had, and Michael Malden's management was just amazing as well, his management team.
Wow.
Because at that time he also managed Arrested Development.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so they were busy. You know,
yes.
It went both ways, because, you know, we could sit there all day answering the phones at the office, and it was Crisscross, you know, press days that we have them at the office all day just doing interviews, one right after the other, sometimes on the road doing phone interviews,
mm-hmm.
you know. If you could get them to even, you know, to sit still long enough. But, yeah, it was back and forth. It just went both ways.
Right. Aside from working and, you know, the fans and all of that, what is one thing that you can share with us that Chris really enjoyed, both of them? Video games, comic books?
The video games.
At that time, I want to say, what was a couple of times that I know the Nintendo was out, Super Mario Brothers.
For the PlayStation. I remember, I don't remember where they were, but I remember one time they broke the TV in the hotel trying to hook up the PlayStation.
Oh, my goodness.
And then they had security, like, deliberately bug them to leave, go to the store to get food so that they could switch the TVs. So they wouldn't have the broken one if they broke. So, you know, it was that kind of stuff going on. Mischievous little kids. They were just typical kids. But like I said, in terms of the business, they were very professional and mature when it came to the business.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely a huge influence. And, you know, rest in peace, Chris Kelly, man. I remember seeing him on the stage at the 20th anniversary. The energy was crazy. It was just like... He belonged on that stage, and I'm so happy that I got to witness that show.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
me too. I saw that, and
were you
and
there?
I'm so happy to see him.
Amazing.
On the stage, you know?
Yeah.
Because, you know, after they hadn't been on the stage together in so long, so it was nice to see them completely adult, because not even just as teenagers, but completely adults. And they went back on the stage, and when I saw them, I went bananas. They had the same energy, the same movements. Everything was the same. They just picked up right where they left off. And if you watched it closely, like we knew them, you could see they were doing the same thing. They were reading each other. They were, you know, communicating without talking on that stage, and they knew each other's moves.
Mm-hmm.
And what each person was going to do next. You could see it. And it was the same. They just picked up right where they left off. You know, it's just a shame they couldn't continue, because I think it would have just, I just think the pandemonium would have started all over again.
Oh, no,
it was.
Do you remember
already
this? Not
starting all
again.
I mean, all the blogs. I remember the blogs.
Oh my God!
I remember my local news over here in Orlando, Florida.
Yeah.
The local news, and not even. And then I saw it on CNN. Then I'm all over the internet, and that same picture, like crisscross back. Everywhere.
Every day.
So I just,
all day.
Yeah,
so.
Every day until the 20th concert. So I knew after that concert that they can pretty much do whatever they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
They could have probably, you know, unfortunately it didn't happen, but I know they would have been on a tour right now doing
mm-hmm.
their thing, or one would have been in the works, because I'm talking about even after, you know, his unfortunate passing, I'm watching ESPN. And people on ESPN are stopping their show, putting on their suit jackets backwards, playing jump and jumping up and down. These are grown men, but of course they were around that age when Chris Cross was doing their thing. So there was nobody that group didn't reach.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Young and old alike, you know.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like you said earlier, their raps were clean, so
mm-hmm.
young
mm-hmm.
kids could listen to it, and adults who may not have been that much into rap listened to them because of that, because they were kids, because they were clean, and because it was just so energetic. And just, you know, again, big up and tribute to Jermaine for those beats and those tracks.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
Great.
I know, because they're classics. And
right.
I remember reading... just again, I was saying earlier, so many rappers that we've had on the show have said, when we say, what inspired you to rap, or, you know, what kind of got you started, they'd be like, well, you know, Chris Cross and, you know, this, and I'm just like, wow, you know, and these are the rappers that are known today, and so it's just amazing, again, like you said, they affected, it's not one person they didn't reach, and just the fact that they've inspired so many rappers that who are some people's favorite rappers today, you know, was all because of Chris Cross. So, and then we talked mm-hmm. about DeBrat as well. So it's just an amazing, amazing thing. And I know that it's difficult for the fans, especially, but I know it's got to be tough for yourself and close and loved ones who knew them and spent so much time with them. And I just want to thank you for, you know, taking the time out tonight to kind of reflect back with us and remember the great times and the good moments and special things, you know, versus, you know, the unfortunate passing. So thank you so much. It really means a lot to
you're
us.
You're welcome.
Yeah,
and,
we
you
really
know,
appreciate
I just hope people try not, you know, it's hard to speak about them in the past tense. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
the music is there. It speaks for itself. So I think that'll keep them in the present.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yes, ma'am.
And he was actually, I heard, working on some new music. So hopefully somebody, you know, that really has his best interest at heart takes that new music that he was working on and lets the world hear that as well. Because I heard he was working on some good stuff recently.
Mm-hmm.
So I would love to hear that.
No staffing.
So would I.
I would too. And I know that DJ Wonder released a mixtape and tribute mixtape, and that's available now, everyone, at global14.com. And I'm sure various other blogs. DJ Wonder, he's put together a Chris Cross tribute CD. So everyone that's listening tonight, a couple people are tweeting. Go ahead and download that, and, you know, pull out your Ride On magazines and keep everything going, And also tuning in, if you're just now tuning in, this is Miss Natalie that we have on the line, who worked with the record companies and with Chris Cross when they first got up and going before So So Def was even a label, and that's very special and amazing. So,
Shout out Miss Natalie. Shout out Columbia Records, man. I have so many CDs with from
Columbia
artists.
On it. I know.
Cypress Hill down to Chris Cross. I mean, you
and
know.
And Destiny's Child, they were in Columbia when they finally did some, you know, and it jumped off for them, I remember.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we had a lot of artists come out of there. It was crazy there, and Chris Cross just made it crazier.
That's nice. That's dope. That's dope.
I know.
Shout out Jermaine Dupri for that awesome production, that awesome, you know, teaching them exactly how to come across to the crowd, because I think that Jump record was so iconic just because of how strong it was, and they brought it home. They brought the look home. They brought the raps home. The voice on the track, everything was there, man. It was just a package that was put together. Like, you don't see that too much anymore. Like, somebody grooming somebody to come out and have that type of impact is few and far in between. So shout out Jermaine and Chris Cross, and definitely rest in peace to Chris Kelly. Did you get to talk to him, Miss Natalie, at the 20th anniversary? Did you get to actually speak with him?
No. I wasn't there, but I saw all the videos.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, I wish I was, though. I really wish I was there to see that live.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, we thank you so much for tonight. I know we keep saying it, but this is really, you know, just a special night, and we want to continue, like you said, to keep him in the present and honor him the right way and the most appropriate way. Is there anything else that you'd like to share with his fans? There are several of them listening tonight. Anything that you would like to share with us?
I just, you know, just want everybody to real, you know, Chris Cross, a legend, you know, and you really can't speak about one without speaking about the other.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, they weren't just music industry legends, you know, or they didn't just make music history. They made American history.
Absolutely.
You know,
right.
And
right.
That's how it needs to be remembered. It's not just the music, it's what they
mm-hmm.
did, you know, as individuals and what they did for a culture, which is hip hop.
Absolutely. Well, we thank you so much again, and we are actually going to play another Chris Cross track. And if you were at the
thank you for having me.
No, thank you.
You're
oh,
welcome.
My goodness.
Thank you for coming.
I was so hesitant to reach out. It's such a difficult time for everyone, so I really appreciate it. We do. We're actually going to play another track from Chris Cross, and if you were at the So So Def 20th anniversary, you would have heard them open up with this song, and it's Warm It Up, and I'll tell you, they were so loud and so crunk and so turned up at the So So Def 20th, and you can check that out on YouTube. You can Google and pull up all of the performances. And so I want to play that track for you guys that's listening tonight, and you're welcome to call in as well, 760-913-4119 is the number, and share some moments with us. Let us know how when you wear your clothes backwards to school, you got in trouble, and just anything. Share it with us tonight, special tribute broadcast for Chris Kelly, and just paying our respects. G14 Radio The Cut.
Too much, Chris. Some feeling fire, other one they call. coming, so you better watch your back. I know you hear me coming, and I'm buzzing, making it back. Can I drop the bomb? Can I drop the bomb? Can I drop the bomb? Well, here it comes, here it comes. It's a quicker, quicker rip, but known to put the script like it ain't nothing. All your MCs that get the MACs better duckin'. Running hot, cause it's too late to try to make it broad. You just mess up, and I ain't tryna let you slide. Cause I ain't the one for that, I ain't the one that's slack. I'm the making it, back, and I ain't taking check. I don't care who you get or who you with, just limo, be equipped with what it takes to break this book down, kid. I got these locked out, plus, cause I'm these locked out. I'm bad backwards if you want to know what I'm talking about. So lay your cards on the table, cause I'm able to rock whenever, wherever, I still rock the plate. Cause I'm a nappy, happy, bad little son of a gun. And in my eyes, you don't want none. Cause on the mic I get dumb, diddy-diddy-dumb. So watch your back when I say here it come. I know you hear me coming, so you better watch your back. I know you hear me coming, and I'm supposed to make it and make it a mess. But can I drop the bomb?
But flavor we get our own on our own, and that's never no favorite. Would you feel what we do? That's how it be. So just rock with the B-A-double-D-Y-M-A-C.
I bet you never thought you would hear it like this. Some funks for your song by this Snake Christie. The game, I'm true to the game, I'm popping your thing till the party people swing. Cause I'm a little roughneck, tippy-tippy toughneck, causing you to get enough respect. And all them little punks talking junk, bring it on. Cause I just love taking punks out on. Cause I'm a nappy, happy, bad little son of a gun. And in my eyes, you don't want none. So watch your back, fuck them as I start running. And doodle on your step when you hear the daddy coming. I know you hear me coming, so you best to watch your back. I know you hear me coming, and I'm called the Daddy Mac.
But can I drop the bomb?
Drop the bomb.
Can I drop the bomb?
Drop the bomb.
Can I drop the bomb?
Drop the bomb.
Tribute special broadcast tonight, Crisscross. Chris Kelly, we're honoring his legacy and remembering him, and we'll continue to remember him. And actually, we just had Miss Natalie, who worked at Columbia Records and did the promotions and some other things for Crisscross, and it was great that she was able to share you know, those stories and just kind of let us get some insight on Crisscross and how it all went, you know, manifested and came about. And actually before she got off the line, she said that Crisscross used to put salt and pepper in her lemonade. And she said that they just did the prank stuff and, you know, kid stuff. And I just thought that was hilarious. So it's fun to hear about that and to get the insight. So what do you think?
You know that must have been a a fun loving time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, any kid group, I think, running around in the industry, you know, state to state, city to city, people loving you wherever you go. It just had to be, you know, such a fun time. You know, I can only imagine if, you know, that was me in that situation. I know we would have probably been pranking each other, playing jokes, tearing up hotels, all types of stuff.
So,
yeah, you know, when you're a kid like that at that age and in that game, you know, it can only be a lot of fun. But like she said, it was always, when it was time to work, you could tell they went to work. You know what I'm saying? They went to work. I mean, to execute something that somebody else is telling you to do to perfection, that shows you that the work ethic was probably really, really crazy when it was coming to, you know, crisscrossing their recording process and everything. You know what I'm saying? So I just, you know, man, it's such an unfortunate thing. But it's like she said, his music will make him live on. You know, we got to keep that legacy alive, because people need to know, every young kid that comes out and wants to rap, they need to know who Crisscross is, period. So, you know, even if they come out tomorrow and they're 12 years old, they should, anybody that's their management, anybody that's behind them, needs to show them old clips of Crisscross, play tapes of Crisscross, download iTunes, CDs, whatever you got to do to let them know, yo, this is one of the first youngest rap groups ever to come out, and this is what they did with their first song, and they need to really get that knowledge and see those boys, because they were bad. They were some bad boys.
Absolutely. And then you can definitely follow us too, artists. We know that you're tuned in with us on the Wednesday nights, The Cut. You can follow suit, and I love it. If you look, go to Jermaine Dupri's Instagram at Jay Warhol. It's like JWA. Oh, gosh, I shouldn't even try. But JWARHOL.
HOL, yeah.
But just Google, okay? And I'm sure you'll bring it up. But, it's funny because, I mean, he's been doing this since he's got his Instagram, you know, just reminding everyone things that Crisscross has done. Like, do you guys remember this? And Social Def was as well prior to, you know, the Social Def 20 and prior to Den Fortune News. So they've done a lot, and they did a lot. And if you go back to we always say, you know, if everybody's online, where can you be? And that means in the streets with your product. If everybody, you know, do the opposite and do something effective and really make your movement stand out, and just like with themselves, you know, wearing their clothes backwards, and how Natalie said, Miss Natalie said the label loved it because it was great for marketing and it worked. So, you know, just, you know, follow suit and learn and study, because, again, it is history, like everyone agreed. And it was a special time, and it still is. So I'm pretty sure I can see a movie, a documentary, a couple of things coming up, books, and I'm looking forward to reading and seeing all of that. So. Yeah,
it definitely, I think, should be, you know, if not on Crisscross itself, on So Def, period. You know, like she said, the Escapes, the Brat, Crisscross, you know, all of these people were so impactful, and, you know, one man, not one man specifically, but, you know, one producer and his vision and ideas was pretty much behind all of that. What was funny, I was looking at some old Crisscross footage the other day, and, you know, I used to think that Jermaine was in the group when I was young. So now, you know, when you know, like, I was just thinking now, okay, he wasn't one that rapped on this song, but we probably hear him on another song because he was dressed just like him. You know what I'm saying? And he was actually looking like, you know, them. So it was like, okay, well, shit. It's only when you got older that you realized that he was the guy behind it all, and the producer. Because, you know, you really didn't know things like that until you saw Puff Daddy.
Exactly.
Until you got older. Cats like Puff Daddy, who was the producer, but he was in the video. Other than that, you really didn't see anything but the DJ and the rappers. You know, man, so shout out to them for even, you know, putting that right there as far as changing the game, because, you know, then you start seeing producers and songs with their artists, you know what I'm saying? Maybe featured and different things mm-hmm. like that. So, you know, it's definitely a dope time where you can really look back and be like, wow, I didn't even notice it back then. But look at Jermaine. Like, I ran across an Escape video where Jermaine's sitting down. I think it was one of the shows, Team mm-hmm. Summer. And, he got the mic and he's sitting down and he's just like, you know, lay back, kicking and enjoy the ride. Mm-hmm. You know, this song, this kicking. They're mm-hmm. performing, just in the back, basically controlling it all. And I was like, wow, I really didn't know what the hell was his role like that mm-hmm. back mm-hmm. then. Because mm-hmm. we were young, you understand? Mm-hmm. But looking back on it, it's real dope.
You know, it is. And since you mentioned Escape, I remember, we had a talent, a dance to just kick off your shoe, all of that. It was so funny, me and three other girls. And I was, 9 years old, or 10. I think I was about 10 years old. And also remembering when I saw Jermaine Dupri with the Brat. And I was doing the Bratz part, and remember, everybody knows she's the reason I got my nose ring. I tell the story all the time and beg for a nose ring and all of that, but I did the rap, and I had my brother, the twins I had, he was 2, and I had him doing Jermaine Dupri's part, and he is so funny, so he was doing Jermaine, because we used to perform, house full of kids, it's 6 of us, right? So we used to do this, and I'm doing the Bratz part, and he's doing Jermaine Dupri's part. And again, you have Jermaine, who's just diehard fans of Chris Koss. So that is why he wants to rap and all of that. So it's just, it's amazing. It's just Social Death is your life in history. It's crazy. I have a nose ring because of Jermaine and the Brat and everybody. So it's just, it's really funny to go back and look and be like, wow, okay. And then here we are
just
today, Global
14. Community, exactly. Yeah. And then, boom, now we got a radio show through Jermaine's social network.
He continues
awesome,
to evolve and
and innovate. And then look at it, man. Just look at how the landscape has changed from so many years, but at the same time, some of those elements are still what everybody is implementing in today, finding girl groups. The only thing that I actually saw that fell off was guy groups, duo rap groups. You don't really see that too much no more, dudes coming down like we are. Exactly. Mm-hmm. You don't really see that too much anymore, especially when it comes to young kids. So, again, the innovation and the originality, they really couldn't be matched with Chris Koss. I remember after Chris Koss, they had Illegal. I remember Illegal, All in Malik. I remember the Youngsters. The Youngsters was from Philadelphia. There was 3 of them, though. And, there was a few little guy groups, hip-hop groups that came after that. But Chris Koss was really the first ones that I can remember.
I definitely, as far as I can remember, even when you go back to the back in the days and all that, you don't see no young kids doing that. That it hadn't been done. It just hadn't been done. And so they definitely paved the way. And I want to mention also, earlier there was a discussion about, was it ever confirmed with Chris and his illness? And I wanted to mention, I had read an interview a couple of weeks, a while back, actually, that it was actually, I can't pronounce it, it was I don't know how to pronounce this. I think it is alopecia or
alopecia.
Yeah, okay. It was that. And he said he said he had that prior to being in Chris Koss. He said way before, the music took off, and he just says as you get older, it changes, and you have to manage it differently, and then finally he went bald, and just, what he chose to do, I'm going to do bald, and that's how it was.
Right.
And he was great at the So-So Death 20th. We were all like, hey, so that's the girl side. I won't make you join with me and agree, but,
we all knew that was room. I remember coming across him actually in a I think it was some interview that I had read. This one, he wasn't rapping because Young Dro had came on the scene. And I think he's, like, best friends with Young Dro when they was growing up. Mm-hmm. And Dro was like, yo, Chris Kelly, I think it was his neighbor or somebody that he grew up with. So everybody started saying, oh, shit, I didn't know that, you know, Young Dro was, you know, his homeboy. Yeah, I think it was Chris Kelly, not Chris Smith. It was Chris Kelly, and Dro had wrote a lot about him, like, yeah, that man, the one that inspired me to start doing this and getting it in. That was my homeboy from way back. So, and he was chilling at that point, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, it was nothing sickly about him at all. All you got to do is go check the footage of his 20th anniversary. Someone's
oh
on stage killing it.
Oh, my gosh, I get hype every time. And it was so, I was so, do you remember how winded we were and how crunk we were when we came back that Wednesday? You guys can go back and listen to the episode that we did. We did like a social death. We were so all over the place. We were like, oh, my God, it was crazy. Such and such before, and this happened. I mean, I think you were almost coming down with a cold just from being running around.
Yeah,
me too,
man,
like not
crazy.
Even a cold, just losing our voice from when we were so hype and excited. So just to be able to have been a part of that, and for Jermaine to be able to do that, from and for Chris Cross to come out and open it, oh my God, it was amazing.
If they would have had a camera on us in that place,
oh my God,
we would have looked crazy. I remember one time, I think when Cheesy ended up coming out, I think you almost pulled me down to the ground with the strongest grip. I was excited too, but then like your hand just came and grabbed me so hard, and I remember your face, and I was just like, yo, she's about to rip my arm off right now. And then I went crazy because Jay-Z came out. I stood on the stairs, and I got up. I stood on the stairs. I was in front of a big camera.
We didn't even care. I know, that poor camera person, he was just like, oh, my God. I mean, we were, and I do remember punching you in your arm and doing all kind of crazy stuff because I was excited, you know.
Like I said before on that show, when we did the show after we came back, best concert I've ever been to.
And if you watch the YouTube, everyone that's listening tonight, and shout out to Jazzy Jasmine. She says she rocks her nose ring hard, too. I still wear my nose ring, girl. And so if you go, guys, if you go YouTube, So Death 20th Anniversary, which I'm sure a lot of people did because it was just, again, pandemonium after the fact, you can watch all these. And I can't say it's like you were there, but it's just good enough. Like, there's some great footage and some great performance videos. And it's just amazing that, you know, everyone was able to capture that and be there. And I think a couple of people were able to watch it live, too. So I remember my text going, getting texts, are you there?
Yes.
I'm like, yeah, I'm here. So it was amazing.
And then phones died.
My phone died immediately. Right when Jagged Edge came on, my phone was done for the night. So, but yeah, you know, it's amazing, and it's so great to be able to get on and remember the great times and the good times and everyone there. I'm so glad that, like you and I were speaking before, that he had an opportunity to see him and Chris, the impact that he made and how excited everyone was in there, in that venue that evening when they came on stage. So it was incredible.
Yeah,
the energy.
All of it. I think the energy was there because, you know, leading up to the announcement, we just said on the phone with Miss Natalie, that those kids were on every news show, blog, and the 20th anniversary was going down. Everybody knew who was going to be there.
Yeah.
Nobody else got talked about but Chris Cross.
Nobody.
It was crazy.
Not one person.
Nobody else
it was
got
Chris
talked
Cross,
about
Chris Cross.
But Chris Cross. That picture with him and Chris Smith standing together, and they were like, they're back. They're back. Chris Cross returns. And then I remember watching TMZ, and they're like, guess who's back? Chris Cross. And I'm just like, wow. Like,
and I remember,
they're the only ones.
Yeah, and Yahoo, too. They were excited, and then they did, like, a clip and showed Justin Timberlake doing the jump in the movie. Was it Friends with Benefits, or something like that? So they just kind of did. Yeah, it was crazy. They did a timeline of all the times when the song has been played in movies. And, I mean, it's just one of those records. It's classic. It's not going anywhere, and neither is the other music that they recorded. So Like I said, I'm looking
forward. And Jermaine
for it.
Said it too. He said
oh,
it.
Yeah.
He said he wanted to do. It's crazy and it's kind of ironic, but he actually said, "I wanted to have this concert while all you know my artists were alive and well to experience
mm-hmm.
how much of an impact we had and
mm-hmm.
you know just thank God that Chris Kelly was able to you know." Able to actually get the love, man, and
mm-hmm.
see how much love he had. And like I said, you know, unfortunately, there was a TMZ video that arose a little while ago of his, you know, right before his last day, where he was actually rapping in his house to some tracks he had did.
Mm-hmm.
And damn, them shit sounded hot. I was like, whoa,
mm-hmm.
this joint right here that he was rapping, it was... I want to hear that joint.
I
like,
know.
I want to hear. And it's like, you know, you could tell he was planning on making that comeback off that
mm-hmm.
energy, man. And just
mm-hmm.
unfortunately, you know, it didn't happen for him.
Yes, and I remember we spoke about, gosh, we got to get them on the show. We got to get them on the show. So
mm-hmm.
it's definitely still a blessing to have been there and, you know, just been a part of this, all of this, growing up and having those memories, like true, real memories that you can look on the Polaroid and clearly see the clothes are backwards and just all of that. So it's amazing and definitely will never, ever forget Chris Cross, and we never have. So it's this is what it
that's
is.
That's what's
and
crazy. Nobody has
we've
not
never
forgotten about
we've
that.
We've never forgotten him and have always. It's so funny. A couple of guys tagged me in their Facebook posts, and they were showing pictures of when they wore Chris Cross clothes. And this is like 2011. They're like, I'm doing Chris Cross today. I'm wearing my clothes backwards. You know, this is prior to the social death anniversary. This is prior to anything. So any recent footage coming out. So it's just amazing, again, back to the impact and how it's continued. And he was like, look, Onyx, it's like 2011. And the caption's like, I'm Chris Crossing on you, you know, or whatever. It was just, it was
that's
it was
the craziest
crazy.
Thing. When
it
I came
crazy.
Back, exactly. Everybody was talking about, did you see Chris Cross?
Chris
did
Cross.
You see Chris
yes.
Cross? You know, did you see, either it was Chris Cross and or
Chris
Jay-Z.
Chris Cross and Jagged
Edge
and Jay-Z, yeah.
Right.
So,
you know,
it was,
then, yo, you see
it
Chris
so
Cross? Did, yo,
there.
Did Chris Cross perform? Yo,
right.
did Chris Cross perform? Jump out there?
Yeah.
Like, yo, you got to see that? And it was just like, yeah, man, it was surreal, bro. Like, you know, unfortunately, they didn't get a chance to come up to the press room so we could interview them.
Right.
You
right.
know what I'm saying? That would have
right.
been so dope if we'd have
yes,
got that interview. But
we
couldn't
a
do it.
Of
but
them.
Yeah, we missed a couple. But they, you
know
they were rehearsing
check.
Right before the
absolutely.
Show, sound checks, getting everything together. Because I mean, they opened it, man, and
mm-hmm.
they killed it. They killed it. You know,
absolutely.
They killed it.
Yes, the stage.
Breaking
was,
down
was,
mics and destroying crews.
Exactly. And we're going to play, again, you guys, tonight. We're going to ride out to that actual performance footage. We have it here live, so you can hear the crowd, and you can just hear the energy, and just, it was amazing. And hope I don't know if I have, there's like a part one and part two, so you're going to hear some of it, and I just encourage you guys, if you haven't already, I don't know what you've been doing, but do go to YouTube and Google and all of that and just, you know, relive it with us and celebrate it with us and remember him and good health and spirit and just, you know, the humble people that they were, the humble kids that they were, and just, you know, just remember them. And that's pretty much it for tonight. We will be back next Wednesday. And again, this is G14 Radio The Cut via Global14.com, which is Jermaine Dupri's social networking site. Do make sure that you follow him on Twitter and at Global14 at G14 Radio. I know that's a lot I'm throwing out, but if you just Google, I promise you, you'll find everything you need. Google is the best. So
it's your best friend, man. If you're not on Google, I don't know what you're doing.
I don't know what
you're
doing.
I Google something every day on my phone or on my laptop, something that I need to know. You got to Google out, Bing, whatever. Whatever you got to do. This is, you know, you definitely, and any young artist that's listening to the show today, if you're a young guy, you know, even if you're at your, you know, your age where you're not that old, but you want to just see, you know what I'm saying, how the youth were doing it back then. Because I listen to a lot of records right now. Dudes don't pronounce their words the way they need to pronounce their words. I mean,
it's
you can even learn from these dudes back in the day. You know
the
what I'm
diction,
saying? So,
the cadence, the flow, the production.
Yeah.
It's on point.
Yeah.
It is on point. People have been doing their thing forever.
For a minute, man.
Crazy.
That's why I love, Funkified with the Brat is one of
my favorite
songs ever. And, you know, listen, we ain't saying this because this is G14 Radio.
No, this is what it was. Because
I'm going to tell you, this is just what it was, period. That's one of my favorite songs ever. Anybody that knows me will tell you, you know, that I will be in my whip, and all of a sudden that song will come on because it's in my playlist because I put it there. Because I put it there, you know what I'm saying? And that joint hit so hard, and, you know, I just remember saying to myself back when I heard Brat, I was like, yo, this dude Jermaine Dupri knows what the hell he's doing with this music because everything comes out dope. From, you know, I remember.
And how crazy is it that Chris Klaus discovered the Brat and actually said, hey, Jermaine, she's got something. It's like, how do you even know at that young age? Like, it's crazy. Like, you knew then she was going to be something great. So it's like, wow, you guys are just. Miss Sally said, I was born to do this, he said. So, and he was right.
Yeah. I saw some of the funeral footage and how hard it was for Chris Smith and Jermaine and, you know, a lot of people just paying respect. And, you know, it's just one of those unfortunate things. I'm going to dive in a little bit of the unfortunate side of it because I think it's also a help. To young cats that's out there, you know, and these aren't confirmed, I guess we'll call them rumors now, but if they are true and Chris Kelly did pass away from an overdose of drugs, just look at what drugs, you know, can take away. You know what I'm saying? Like if there's anybody listening that may be dealing with substance abuse or anything like that, and you got talent, and you're trying to do your thing, just look at how it could stop and just take away people that meant so much to the game. And as you trying to be a musician, I'm talking about from Chris Kelly to Pimp C to Screw, like all the different people that, you know, I guess substance addiction could just take away from us that has so much talent. Like, I don't know if that has actually been confirmed, but it seems to be. I know his mother put out a statement that he was dealing with that, and that is what did it. But you just want to stay away from that stuff if you can, man. You know, you smoke your weed, okay? You're out there, you're getting drunk a little bit. Not everybody drink and smoke weed, but that hard stuff, that crazy stuff, that pills and all that other shit, like, none of that, man, because that shit, you know, that'll stop something that's legendary in its tracks, you know. I still miss Pimp C out here with Bun B, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody gonna miss Chris Kelly, you know what I'm saying? Because he was about to come back and do his thing off that energy, and it just stopped it in his tracks. So I just wanted to say that for anybody listening, that, you know, maybe thinking it's cool to, you know, put your double cup, you know, drink your syrup, you know what I'm saying? Look at Wayne.
Instagram.
You know, hopefully Wayne, you know, recovers off these seizures, but look at him. Just a few, you know, weeks ago, we thought he was about to lose Wayne. You know what I'm saying? So you don't want to be that guy that's just doing that shit because you see other people doing it. If you're not on drugs and you're not addicted to drugs and you try them, just turn the other way. You know, go roll you up a blunt or paper, whatever you want to do with that. Get you some Hennessy, something like that. In moderation, though, you know what I'm saying? But that other shit, that shit is stopping people dead in their tracks.
It is unfortunate. We do hope that also, you know, this will help those to speak out who didn't and help them maybe with their personal addictions and whatnot. So you just never know the plan that's in place. But you know, here we are. And
you got to learn from it. You got to definitely learn from it. If you love them, you love this music, you know, you knew you was a fan and a rider for what they did, you know, if you're in that same position and you're about to do your thing in music, you're about just understand that, you know, some of these things are out there to derail you. And I, you know, read what his mother had said, which, you know, had a effect on me because basically, you know, she's like, you know, the lifestyle again, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. The clubs and different things like that. You have to be strong-minded, strong-willed. Don't be a follower. Even if you're out there in the clubs late at night, that don't mean you got to take nothing crazy from nobody just to be cool. You know what I'm saying? You could be cool without doing any of that stuff. You know what I'm saying? And this is just not on the Chris Kelly topic. This is period. You know what I'm saying? Because drugs, codeine, whatever they put in that show, that has taken some super influential people from us in music. You know what I'm saying? Back to the olden days. This ain't nothing new.
Right,
you know what
right.
I'm saying? So, you know, you strive to live as long as you can, and you know that shit could cut you short without a moment's notice. You don't want to deal with that shit.
Right, right. That's right. So, well, on that note, definitely. I wish I had but again, Google, I don't have any type of toll-free number or anything that I can give out right now. Since on that subject, for anyone that is struggling or knows someone who's is struggling or may need some help, but you definitely can go to Google. Okay. I was going to say I don't have anything in front of me. But we do encourage you again to Google and find something near you. And also, I would like you guys to go to, I know I keep saying it, theglobal14.com and engage and communicate, socialize, rather, with the community and with us on global14.com. And just
let me tell you what they're talking about on Global right now, because I'm on that joint right now. We got Spotlight talking about she about to go back to the studio. You know what I mean? She got to go back to work on a record. She's one of the lifers. The homie Magoo just posted up a story about Angelina Jolie.
Oh, yeah, the best.
You know, yeah, the removing the ovaries and the things like that. You know, that's what I'm saying. Like the interesting stuff that is going on on Global 14. It could be from music to anything. You know what I'm saying? Destiny Jones just posted an old Drew Hill video. You know, there's a bunch of stuff that goes on.
It's a great place, and you can definitely meet some people who are like-minded and enjoy the things that you enjoy. There's groups on there for you to join and network in or just be a part of, and there's all kind of stuff on there. The guys like posting girl pictures, and they, I guess, what do y'all say, yes and thumbs up or whatever, however y'all comment. Y'all be really going in with the comments.
We just congratulate.
They really say what they
feel
when these pictures are posted. And you know, so again, it's just a great site to be a part of and just, you know, communicate. And Jermaine's on there, and he's active as well, Jermaine Dupree. So, you know, just join and check it out for yourself. And don't take our word for it, but do take our word and come back next Wednesday. Cannot announce the guest tonight, but it will be announced via the Twitter's at G14 Radio. We are going to have someone special coming up. Lots of great guests coming up tonight. On the cut, coming up in the future, so do stay, you know, locked in with us, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, and 5 p.m. Pacific, Wednesday evenings. Follow us, I'm at Onyx254. Miss Natalie, our guest, is at Miss, MissNatalieNYC, Miss Natalie NYC, and you can find her Twitter on at G14 Radio as well. And Golden Fleece is at The Glue, THAGLUE.
Yes, indeed.
And shout out to Juan. He's G14 Radio staff. He's holding down the tech board side. So we do actually have things that have to happen in order for this show to continue. So we appreciate him always.
Shout out. And I know I said I was going to get the 800 number, but you know what? When you Google it, the 800 numbers in your area comes up. So if anybody's fighting with any substance abuse out there, just Google substance abuse treatment, and the 800 numbers will come up. You know what I'm saying? Get yourself together. You know, we want everybody to be around for as long as they could possibly be around. You heard?
No doubt. So let's ride out to S. Promise to Chris. Oh my goodness. But that can happen. I can actually say Chris and Chris. But Chris Cross.
Yeah,
that is so crazy to me. They have the same name. But Chris Cross at the Social Deaf 20th anniversary that took place February 23rd in Atlanta, Georgia. This is the live audio, and we hope you guys enjoy, and we can't wait to broadcast next week with you. Thank you so much, and we are out.
Peace.
You will never be. How y'all feel out there? Y'all ready to celebrate? 20 years. We in this bitch. Well, let me roll me a mic and let me smoke it till I'm high. If you ever see me rock, then you know that I live and die for the things I do. Slang I use, breaking down mics and destroying crews. Hey, come on. R.I.P. my girl Aaliyah. Mic check, 1, 2, 1, 2. You know we live and die for this shit.
1, 2, 1, 2.
Mic check, 1, 2, 1, 2. R.I.P. to my girl Left Eye.
1, 2, 1, 2. Mic check, 1, 2, 1, 2.
R.I.P. to my nigga Biggie.
Hey.
My motherfucking nigga Pop.
1, 2, 1, 2.
Mic check, I'll tell you how it go.
1, 2, 1, 2.
I devoted my whole life to rocking mics, getting crowds. If they put my pants on backwards, cause I wanted to be different. I keep doing the grease time piece. Bertolucci house full of honey. Boy, and Gucci. Cutting coochie, I'm the main girlfriend. Luxury, I slip. Macadocia to the most prime, sexy slip. Set up trends, no for making dividends. And millions of people jump, 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 jump. Come on. Top of the world, I chill, keep it real. Thug his ass, nigga, saying where they keep that pistol.
I wouldn't trade it for me. Better
wake it up when I wanna.
Autograph, bubble bath, 5-star hotel. Rolling with a glass, super taking everybody's kid.
Well, baby, roll me a mic and let me smoke till I'm high.
If you ever see me rock, then you know that I live and die for the things I do. Slang I use, break it down, mics and destroy your crew.
Well, baby, roll me a mic and let me smoke till I'm high.
If you ever see me rock, then you know that I live and die for the things I do.
Love.